As you've heard, I'm president of this congregation, and for the last 2 years, since I became president-elect, I've been trying to figure out how I got myself into this fix. And I think I've sorted it out, and that's the story I want to tell you tonight. I think it begins back in Beaverton, Oregon, where I went to high school. And even 40 years ago, Beaverton had running water, we had electricity, we had flush toilets, even though it would be a better story if we didn't. But it wasn't New York City, and it certainly wasn't Baltimore. My high school had about 0.5% Jewish population, less if I wasn't there. And this was not what my parents had in mind for me. Without ever saying a word, it was clear to me that they wanted me to go east to meet a nice Jewish girl and to find some sort of gainful employment. And so I'm very dutiful, and I did what they told me to do without even them having to say it. I headed east, and I took a red-eye flight directly to Newark Airport, and I had my four suitcases. And the first thing you see when you leave Newark Airport and you're on the turnpike are the oil refineries in New Jersey. And it's horrible. You know, there's smoking and there's gas and it stinks and there's not a tree in sight. And I was about ready to get on a plane and return home because this was horrible. This was a nightmare. My teachers at high school told me I'd be warped if I went east, and it looked like they were right. But I stuck it out. I showed up in college, and within 2 days, we had a Hillel mixer. And this is important because my parents had met at a Hillel mixer. So I went to a Hillel mixer, and that's where I met Leslie, even before classes had started. And so Leslie and I became an item within, I was still 17, within the first 2 days of college. And we've been an item ever since. So partly because of that, and maybe with some influence of my parents unspoken back home and some of the nice friends I met, I became active in the college Hillel. And eventually I rose to the position of vice president in charge of doing things. And doing things meant, you know, I'd solicit the student government for money and I'd set up chairs. And I got really good at setting up chairs in nice, even rows, nice semicircles. This was the right sort of thing for me. But finally, as I'm getting close to the end of college, I decide it's time to move up in the hierarchy and decide to run for president of Hillel. And the problem is, to my surprise, and still to my surprise, because this never happens in Jewish organizations, there was a competitive election. And this was very bad news, because the guy I was running against was a guy named David Spergel, who the Reeses know well. And so David Spergel was this fellow. We'd all take four or five courses and struggle through it. David Spergel would take seven, he'd ace them all. And he was really active in the Jewish community, leading the fight against the oppression of the Soviet Jews, which was a big issue at the time. And he was active in the Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox minions on campus, where he could lead all the services. And so the bottom line is I'm doomed, and I know it. We have the election, and I get, it's a secret ballot. I know I got one vote because I voted against the interests of the community for myself, and maybe I got two votes if Leslie voted for me. I'm not sure. And so from that point on, my involvement in the active Jewish community as a leadership role, at least, went way downhill, kind of tanked, until about 20 years ago. So here we are now, back settled in Baltimore. And we have a number of friends joining this congregation. And the congregation moves to this wonderful building that was really built in a lot of ways by hand by members of this congregation. It was wheelchair accessible, which was a big deal for us. We joined, and it wasn't too long before I was involved first in one committee, the religious committee, which was interesting. I met new people. And then I was asked to be on the board for some reason. They made a mistake and didn't pick Leslie, who was much more experienced at these sort of things. But I was on the board. I met more new people. It was interesting. Some of the issues were contentious, but it was interesting and fun. And then I was on the rabbi search committee, and that was even more interesting. I read about things I never knew about. I learned about the relationship of rabbis and congregations. I learned about how different movements in Judaism work. And that was pretty interesting, too. And eventually, I'm asked to become secretary of the executive committee, which is good because I take really good notes, very organized and precise, not too much, not too little, and I could still set up those chairs in nice rows. So this is a good kind of job for me, which brings us to February 24th, 2014. I'm coming home from work. I walked a few blocks from my office to my parking garage. My car's about three floors up. And I take the first steps. And that's when the indigestion began. And it begins to get worse. Go up, get to my car. Things are getting pretty bad. I'm not feeling very good. But I drive, and there's this half filled Coke, can of Coke with flat Coke. I drank that, and I thought that'll help. It didn't. Of course, it made things worse, if anything. I thought, oh, of course I'm feeling worse. I just drank some flat Diet Coke. and to go up to JFX and get off on Cold Spring Lane, because what I'm going to that evening is our board meeting. And I show up at the board meeting. It's a little early, so I'm feeling pretty bad now. I'm beginning to shake. That indigestion is getting to be kind of a pressure. And I head over to the kitchen, grab some seltzer, drink the seltzer. Didn't help. Things are getting worse. Go out. It's February, you know. I get some fresh air. It's cool. Hope that'll help with the sweating. Doesn't work. I still think things are going to be okay. I'm about to sit down in the board meeting, and something clicks in my mind. Not exactly in the forefront of mine, in the back, but I'll leave professionals to think about what that might be. And so I turned to Ralph Raphael, one of the leaders of our congregation, who's sitting somewhere out there, and said, Ralph, you're going to have to take notes today. And I catch the eye of Doug Carey Beaver, who was the immediate past president, and I walk over to Doug and said, Doug, we got to go to the hospital. He didn't ask any questions. He just puts on his coat and zips me over to Union Memorial, and they do their thing over there. And, yeah, it turns out, not indigestion. It's a honest-to-goodness heart attack. And I know it's serious because the rabbi comes by to say some prayers. That's when you know things are pretty bad. But I get out, and after a few days, I'm in the basement of Union Memorial because they didn't have enough beds anywhere else. In the basement, there's no darkness and there's no real light. But I get out, and I'm doing okay. Not perfect, but okay. And I'm at home, and four things happen. The first is Johns Hopkins gives me a big parking lot upgrade, which I've been fighting for 20 years. And this is worth having a heart attack for, because this is going to save me 50 hours. This is going to save me 50 hours a year of commute time, I figure. The second thing that happens is I meet my new cardiologist, and I'm hoping for one like my grandparents have, kind of short, squat guy who smokes cigars, drinks heavily, and has a good time with life. But I get the skinny guy, the tall, skinny guy who's kind of aesthetic, and I'm going to have a hard time measuring up to his skinniness, and that's a real worry. So the third thing that happens is that there's a real outpouring of support, friends, colleagues at work, and especially from this congregation, people I didn't even know. It was really something wonderful and special that I'll always appreciate. And then the fourth thing happens. I get this phone call from Melissa Zeev, who's sitting out there somewhere as well. And Melissa Zeev, at that point, is chair of the committee that finds leaders for the congregation. And she says, Russ, how would you like to be president of the congregation? And this is absolutely insane. I have this job that's like 60 to 80 hours a week. I have two kids at home. My wife has a full-time career. I just had a heart attack at a board meeting. No, if that's not a message from on high, what is? And, well, of course, you know what I said and did. Because now this is quite an opportunity. It's an opportunity to see the Jewish community from the inside out. It's an opportunity to work and study with Rabbi Franken. It's an opportunity to work with this really wonderful congregation and to represent them and do my best for them. And it still gets a chance. I still get this chance to take these great notes. If you look at our website, hidden in there is all the notes I've taken for different things. So really good. Take a look at them, especially about the affiliation issue. And the other thing I can do is I can still set up those chairs in nice, neat rows. So I still have what I want. And thank goodness Melissa Zeev's going to take my place. Turnabout's fair play. So thank you very much.